Gopi jana valava girivara dhari Gopi jana valava girivara dhari Yashoda nandana vajrana ranjana Yashoda nandana vajrana ranjana Jamuna tiravana chari Jamuna tira vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Puri Vajakacharya Astotara Shata Sri Srimad is the Divine Grace of Arjana Arvinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Bhakti Ki Prem Sehkov Prem Shekhar Hoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Garada Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindaki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Shri Gangamai Ki Shri Jamunamai Ki Shrimati Tulsi Devi Maharani Ki The Holy Month of Kartik Ki Iskandu Ramanrati Dham Ki Shri Shri Radha Sham Sundar Ki Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Shri Shri Gaurnitai Ki Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Sri Guru. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1 Chapter 7 entitled Punishment and Reward of Kali. So we'll be doing text number 7 and 8 today, so we can do them simultaneously. 7? Come on. Dvamva mrimala vadala padelina padacharan visharupena kim kanchit devana parikeyakam. So, we'll do the word for this. Tuam, you. Va, eater. Mrinala, davala, as white as a lotus. Padie, of three legs. Nyuna, being deprived. Pada, on one leg. Charan, moving. Vrisha, bull. Rupena, in the form of. Kim, weather. Kaschit, someone. Deva, demigod. Na, us. Parikedayan, causing grief. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Shri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Then he, Maharaj Parikshit, asked the bull, "Oh, who are you? Are you a bull as white as a lotus, white lotus, or are you a demigod? You have lost three of your legs and are moving on only one. Are you some demigod causing us grief in the form of a bull?" Purport. At least up to the time of Maharaj Parikshit, no one could imagine the wretched condition of the cow and the bull. Maharaj Parikshit, therefore, was astonished to see such a horrible scene. He inquired whether the bull was not a demigod assuming such a wretched condition to indicate the future of the cow and the bull. And eight, together. Najatu Kauravendranam Durdanda Parirambite Bhutale Nupatantyasmin Vinate Praninan Sacha. Translation. Now, for the first time in a kingdom well protected by the arms of the king of the Kuru dynasty, I see you grieving with tears in your eyes. Up till now, no one on earth has ever shed tears because of royal negligence. Purport. The protection of the lives of both the human beings and the animals is the first and foremost duty of a government. Government must not discriminate in such principles. It is simply horrible for a pure-hearted soul to see organized animal killing by the state in this age of Kali. Maharaj Parikshit was lamenting for the tears in the eyes of the bull, and he was astonished to see such an unprecedented thing in his God kingdom, in his good kingdom. Men and animals were equally protected as far as life was concerned. That is the way in God's kingdom. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vandeham Shri Gurum Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatan Vitamstam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopika Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Stute Devi Pranamami Hare Kriye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Srila Prabhupada Prabhuti Namini Shri Shri Vrindata Vivira Padapad Pankajadayana Prabhupada Nivadayana Mahashivar Bhavi Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Nanami Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaulavani Pachayane Nivishesha Sangadhali Paschata Deshitayane Hare Krishna. So, these set of verses brought back lots of memories to me, good memories and bad ones. Back in the 80s, when my wife was just 12 years old, a granny saw me at the time. I was planning on giving her initiation. And there were some concerns because she was just a 12-year-old child, that whether she's going to be able to keep her vows and continue. So it so happened that we were reading this very section of the Bhagavatam. So he happened to be giving the class on 2 verses ago, verse 6, where it's mentioned that about a twice born, one by parental conjugation and the other by cultural rejuvenation of spiritual initiation by a bona fide spiritual master. And he also described that according to Vedic literatures, up to 12 years old, a child's karma is being taken by the parents. But from 12 onwards, a child takes his or her own karma. And also, at that stage, they should be materially mature enough to take their responsibility and thus take initiation. So, anyway, he gave that lecture and he left the country, flew back to the US. And the next morning, the Bhagavatam class continued with these set of verses where one devotee was given a Bhagavatam class, and he happened to be the gardener of the temple. So where he was sitting giving a Bhagavatam class, he had a clear view of the garden. He was seeing very clearly the garden. And in the middle of the class, the neighbor's cows broke the fence and came in. So he got up, he left the class, picked up a piece of wood that was nearby, and I don't think you want to hear the rest of the story. But afterwards, 15 minutes after, he came back and he continued giving the Bhagavatam class, continuing his discussion on cow protection. So when I saw these verses, I remember those two. He was talking about cow protection. So anyway, these verses are discussing about cow and protection, which includes bull protection. So sometimes I question as to, out of all animals, why did Krishna choose the cow? Why is the cow there? Many times we choose different animals that are as our pets or to take care of. Cats, dogs, hogs, and different animals. But in particular, Krishna takes care of the cows. And his supreme abode is called Goloka Vrindavan, the abode of the cows. He's called Gopal, the caretaker of the cows. And with his flute, he coordinates, manages, and care for all his cows. And he had 900,000 cows. According to Nagaraj Prabhu, some years ago, he calculated that if you put 900,000 cows standing side by side, it takes up Alachua. I think he said Alachua County. And as if that's not enough, one of Krishna's friends, his father had 1,100,000 cows. So a little bit of a number. Imagine all those cows going down the road to the grazing ground. So the cow is very special. It's very special in Vedic culture to the human beings. That a few verses ago we discussed where it says that from the cow religious principles are being drawn. especially in the form of milk. So, it is described that why the cow is so special is that how many demigods are there? Is it 33 million or 330 million? That's what I heard, 33. I heard one, someone says 330 million the other day, so I'm not sure. But anyway, that these 33 million demigods are all embodied in the form of a cow. That is Vedic injunction. So when Krishna takes care of his cows, he takes care of everyone else. Just like the prime minister or the president of the country, when he takes care of his ministers, minister of agriculture, education, finance, this, that, and the next, altogether is under the care of the president. He takes care of the prime minister, the leader. So similarly, all these demigods or devatas, they're all administrators on behalf of the Lord. And so the Lord takes care of them all in the form of the cow, because the cow is the embodiment of all these demigods combined. And when the cow gives milk, and that is the religion, that's the essence of religion that's being drawn from the cow in the form of milk. When that's being offered to Krishna, of course, through the medium of the spiritual master. And how did Srila Prabhupada describe the spiritual master? As the sum total of all the demigods. So everything circles back. When we offer to the spiritual master, and the spiritual master offer that milk to Krishna, it's the sum total of all the demigods' service, the devatas, are being offered and served. So in this way, the cow is the via media of that spiritual energy. And also material energy too, because even the waste of the cow is beneficial to human beings. The dung of the cow, it's described that, like in Govardhaneko village, they made the huts and the buildings out of cow dung. And in the hot summer, that cow dung keeps you cool inside. And in the cold winter, it keeps you warm inside. So no electric is needed, no air conditioning, none of that stuff. And the urine is very, very healthy for the human body. Now it's becoming a worldwide thing where everyone is, their Ayurvedic messages going out where people are adopting to the use of cow urine for medication. It's an acceptable fact. It's an acceptable fact that in a stool of an animal, or they are generally contaminated, but the stool of a cow is so pure and it's full of antiseptic properties. It's kind of a contradictory. So, and the cow is so powerful and pure and such an important part that in the Vedic scriptures we found that she even gave birth to a human child. Some of us may know the story of Gokarna when she was offered the fruit. That's a long story we can discuss maybe later. But she even gave the birth to a human child, which was a great devotee. So much importance is given, and so much care and love Vedic culture gives to the cows. And the bull also is very sacred. The bull is the father. It represents greatness. Even to the modern world, like in Egypt right now, there is high reverence to the bull. He represents energy, goodwill, greatness, strength, very hard working and selfless father, that it tills the land, produces everything for the maintenance of society, He doesn't complain. He doesn't require a salary. All it takes is some grass, a little bit of water. So, like that, it's the bull is so very important. And these animals, they are like the actual strength of human society in Vedic culture. And when treated with love and affection, they produce unlimitedly. We heard of, like in Vrindavan, that the pasturing grounds would be soaking wet with the milk from the breast of the cows. That is described when Krishna was born. They were celebrating, even though they were trying to contain it. But some of the residents, they were dancing, and the milk from the cows gave so much milk that it moistened the ground, so it was like a pool of mud, a cow dung and cow urine and milk all mixed, and people were dancing in it. So it was such a joyful occasion. Also, we all know Jagopal Prabhu, now living in his community, he and his wife Damayanti. When my wife and I went to visit their home in Gitanagari back in, I think, 2002, they told us, not them, but the other devotees, told us the story of their cow. They had a cow that was giving milk for 9.5 years. It had one calf, and it keeps giving milk all those 9.5 years. And then at that point, he and his wife went to Vrindavan for 6 months, and they left the cow in the hands of some other devotees to take care. And during that 6 months, the cow stopped giving milk. When they came back and took the cow back with them, immediately she starts giving milk again. So it's kind of quite amazing. So these are some of the importance here. So now we have, in this pastime, where Maharaj Parikshit, the able descendant of the Kauravas, he was completely astonished and shocked to see that the cow and the bull was in this wretched condition. It's described here that never before has any such thing happened. And Maharaj Parikshit, as qualified as he is, he couldn't have believed his eyes. As we know, Maharaj Parikshit, he was the grandson of Krishna's sister, Subhadra. So, very high birth, very, very qualified. And he was, Srila Prabhupada said, he was as qualified as Sukadeva Goswami, that not only that Sukadeva Goswami spoke the Bhagavatam to him, but he could have spoken the Bhagavatam to Sukadeva Goswami also. That's how qualified he was. That he was so qualified of a king, of a Rajarshi, that he immediately, he knew religious principles inside out. So immediately as he saw this condition, he was ready to chastise sufficiently the age of Kali. So this is a quality of a devotee. Once Srila Prabhupada was asked that, how can I become humble? And Srila Prabhupada reached forward, slammed his hand on his desk, and he said, by becoming aggressive for Krishna. So everyone was shocked. You know, aggression and humility doesn't quite work together. Then Srila Prabhupada explained that a devotee should be a lion in the chase and a lamb at home. That at home you're very humble among the other devotees, family members, so forth. But when it's time to uphold religious principles or going out preaching out there, one has to be aggressive. So like this, these are some of the qualities of Maharaj Parikshit. He was very, very humble. He was born a great devotee. His name itself, he was such a great personality that he had darshan of Krishna within the womb of his mother, Uttara. And thus his name, Parikshit. Parikshit means inquirer or examiner. He's examining who is that person that gave me darshan within the womb of my mother. So, such a qualified person, such an able descendant of the great Pandavas. And by the strength of his arms, he was upholding religious principles. So, he was very strong in this. And he was also very, very respectful. Like when I look at it, this topic here, this chapter says the punishment and reward of Kali. I mean, it's contradictory totally. You know, punishment and reward. Generally, reward gives the impression of something good, something like favorable, beneficial. Punishment is the opposite, it's kind of negative. So when I saw this, the first thought came to my mind is that I certainly have a lot to learn about what it means to be a devotee, not to speak of what it means to be an administrator. So, Maharaj Parikshit, he imbibed these qualities. And here he showed, he manifested, like, when you look at this topic, you know, this chapter, punishment and reward, that with all this person was so degraded, was hurting the root of religious principles, the cow and the bull, yet Maharaj Parikshit rewarded him. So what does that mean? That tells us, that gives us a lesson, that tells us something of very high religious principle. So I recalled Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's quote that only patience, humility, and respect for others are our friends of Hari Bhajan, of devotional service. So, with all Maharaj Parikshit, as aggressive as he was against these degraded things that the age of Kali were propounding, he was still very respectful of him as a living entity. And his duty as a king, Srila Prabhupada explains here, is not only to protect the human beings, but to protect the entire state, the entire praja. Praja means every living entity within that kingdom. That is the great responsibility. So he had a responsibility of protecting the animals also, and especially that of the cow. So offering protection also means offering protection to this age of Kali, who happened to be a member of his kingdom. So he also had a responsibility of offering protection to this degraded person. So after Kali surrendered unto him, he reciprocated. He told him, you don't have to fear for your life. So it takes a great personality to do such a thing. And in the Vedic times, all the kings, that was their nature. That anyone who surrenders, they are given full protection. We see that with the Pandavas, like anyone could have come to their doorstep and give their complaint, and they immediately attended to it, to that complaint. Lord Ramachandra is the same thing. All the leaders, that was the standard of Vedic culture, that they give protection, and not only to, again, to human beings, but also to the animals. So Maharaj Parikshit was doing the same thing here. So when he saw this situation, he immediately jumped into action to take care, because he understood that the age of Kali is infiltrating. It's something, the age of Kali is also a plan of the Lord. These ages are going on in cycles and circles all the time. But his duty as a Rajarshi is to give protection and to keep his praja, keep his citizens, keep his arena such that Kali, the age of Kali doesn't affect, doesn't influence them. They have that Kali has no grounds within his vicinity. just like devotees like Srila Prabhupada and his movement. He was so careful. Like one time in the early days, the devotees didn't know so much. I think it was like back in 67, Srila Prabhupada got ill and wanted to go back to India for recovery. So some devotees suggested that Srila Prabhupada, maybe we should invite some other Swami to take care in the meanwhile. And Srila Prabhupada said no. He said, even if they change one word, the whole thing would be spoiled. So Srila Prabhupada was so careful that he presented, he said, I've given you enough, whatever I've given you, if you stick to that, you have nothing to fear. He even said that even a place like New York City, which is the emblem of Maya, people even moving around naked, he said, even my brahmacharis, if they stick to the principles, they can live peacefully and happy and carry on their Krishna consciousness. So this is the standard that Srila Prabhupada set, that he created this movement in such a way and organized it so well that if we stick to what he has given, then our protection can be assured. So that is the duty of a leader. Like one time, one devotee, when they were having problems printing his books, because it's expensive and so forth, so they were suggesting that, okay, they reduce the quality of the paper or the quality of the hardcover. And, you know, like they were talking about compromises. And Srila Prabhupada says no. He said, I've given 1,000 talks before I placed these words here. So he was very adamant. He took everything into consideration that when he presented his package, that the whole world should be benefited. Like right now, we got some complaints the other day where some group of personalities from the Hindu community in one country is posting up negative things about Srila Prabhupada and his ISKCON movement, his followers, that he's trying to make a group to denounce the Hare Krishnas because they are thinking less of the demigods. First of all, they are calling the devatas a degraded name, demigods, and that ISKCON and Prabhupada motivatedly placed things in his books to brainwash and influence his followers, to think that, well, the devatas and the Lord are different. They're saying that they're all one, they can all give us salvation, they can all do the same, that there's no distinction, and that we should not be following, we should be careful not to read Swami Prabhupada's books. So we prepared a short paper about 10 days ago to try to counter that and invite them for some spiritual discussions. Let's look at some scriptural references to understand the position of the Lord and the devatas, why this name demigod came about, look at the scriptures and see why Srila Prabhupada presented what he presented. That first of all, he presented this message for the entire world, not only for people from Vedic background and so forth. So anyway, he was very, very careful in presenting this ISKCON movement, this package, and that's why it's so successful, because he was so very careful. He chose every word so very carefully. I know there was one devotee back in the day. He used to come to Guyana. He was Brahmachari then. And every word that he spoke appears to cost him $1,000. Like he would take so slow and choose every word very carefully. So like that, Srila Prabhupada was like that also, and similarly Maharaj Parikshit, that to govern his kingdom, he was so very careful, so very concerned, and he would be very, very vigilant. So when this happened, he was completely shocked. I remember when I went to Vrindavan, some Brijvasis, they're asking, they're saying that, oh, we heard that people drink and eat meat. I said, does those things exist? They never heard of those things. Never, you know, they can't fathom that things like that actually existed. On the contrary, when I was in Venezuela, I was distributing some books. And then when people learn about the vegetarian life, they said, such a thing exists? Is it such a thing that people don't kill cows? You know, that they never heard of that. That they can't fathom that people live, that there are a certain class of people that can live without eating, drinking, illicit sex, smoking, gambling, and those things. They said, they can't fathom that such a thing existed. So these are the contrast. And Maharaj Parikshit, again, was extremely careful that not only that he, being a devotee, but he's such a personality that wherever he is, he can maintain these religious principles. And one time Srila Prabhupada was asked that how do you know a devotee? And he said, you can know a devotee by when you see him or in his presence, your thoughts are completely changed from a material to a spiritual. Your conversation wants to change. You know, you won't bring all the different regular grammar kata to a devotee. It changes. So that force is there. And even with regular devotees, so to speak, sometimes when I see devotees in the store or somewhere else, they may be dressed ordinarily. And even if I don't recognize them, but sometimes I can figure and sense there's something different about this person. There's something very different. There's some, whatever it is. Once I met a lady, a Muslim lady, and I had to go for work. So after half an hour, she said, there's something different about you. What is it that so many people had, you know, come to our house in the past, but you are very different. So I said, I don't know, it's, you know, I don't think I'm in any way different. And she said, yes, you are. That, you know, from the mere way I presented myself or what I'm doing. And then we started talking about religious life. She was a devoted Muslim from Turkey, you know, like that. So somehow or the other, you know, we were able to recognize. And once we carry ourselves within the boundaries of Vedic culture, then at least, even we cannot protect, like Maharaj Parikshit, he was protecting his kingdom and wherever he was governing. And Srila Prabhupada is protecting his movement. We might be protecting a smaller arena, but if we act in such a way within religious principles, then at least the influences of Kali can stay away from that place. So this is our support system. This is what was given to us. This is the strength that we have, that wherever we are, if we share and if we maintain religious principles and we be vigilant about it, at least we can carry, we can keep that arena. Like you're saying, that a devotee doesn't defeat Maya. With all, it says that a devotee declares war against Maya. But a devotee doesn't defeat Maya, but he runs on parallel lines, like the lines of a train track. Maya goes its way and devotee goes its way, and keep that influence that they never come together. There are no cross. So as long as that's being maintained, then those things can be taken care of. So here,
Maharaj Parikshit was addressing the Kaurava's mother. You know, so in the first, this same first canto in 11th chapter, verse 28, Srila Prabhupada describes the 11 mothers, sorry, the 7 mothers. So those are, we can do them together, or our real mother, the wife of a Brahmin, the wife of the spiritual master, the wife of the king, the nurse, Mother Earth, and the cow. So these are the 7 mothers, and they're all meant to be worshipped. Even when Lord Chaitanya was speaking, having this discussion with the Chankazi, Srila Prabhupada described that he asked the Chankazi, he says, the cow is your mother, and you're killing her? That, how can you do that? That, think about it in this way. The mother provides you with everything, gives you milk, and then you're going to turn back and kill her. What religious principle is that? That is one of the arguments that convinced the Qazi also. And so, when Krishna was met Devaki, his mother, he showed his respect to all these different mothers, and that's how this Prabhupada gave this purport. To all his stepmothers, he had 17 stepmothers, and he gave show all his respect. And he treated them as mother, even Putana. We read the pastimes of Putana when she offered Krishna her breast milk. Krishna didn't see it, well, okay, she's wanting to kill me. He see that she's showing motherly affection. And as a result of that, he made her one of his mothers as a nurse in the spiritual world. So that's how important Krishna sees the mothers. That's how important Mother Cow is. You know, there was even one story in India where there's one lady. She was kicked out of her house by her husband, young lady, pregnant, about to give birth, and was rejected. So she had nowhere to go, and she stayed in a cow shed. And she starts giving birth. And what happened? This cow came and stood over her to protect her from the sun and see that she's not harmed until she finished giving birth. Now that lady formed a very big movement in India for the protection of homeless children. And towards the latter years, in her 80s, one man came because she was taking care of so much elderly, so much kids especially, that people don't be homeless like what she went through. And this man came and asked for protection, that he, you know, that he's completely helpless, sick, old. And when the man came, she recognized that was the husband who kicked her out. And she said, come, I'll take care of you, but this time I'm going to take care of you not as your wife, but as your mother. And it's all because of Mother Cow that she got that opportunity like that. So these are some thoughts, you know, I have on these topics. I didn't want to go on the negative side of commenting on influences of Kali Yuga here and what's going on in the modern world, but for us as devotees, how we can keep ourselves protected and understand, like reading these pages of Bhagavatam that give so much, so high religious principles, and try to stick to them. So this is our benefit. So any questions or comments, additions, corrections? Okay, so seeing that there's nothing. Oh, sorry, Mataji. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't see your hand over there.
I was just surprised that the Hindu community you mentioned, that they were questioning about the use of the term demigods.
Yeah.
And the ISKCON is like preaching
negatively,
but well, not negative, you know, but we're just explaining properly, clearly, philosophically, because there's so many verses in the Bhagavad Gita, and you know, Krishna says it's for less intelligent, and the you know, the fruits are limited and temporary, and the faith is given by Krishna.
Yeah. Well, that actually gave the answer right there.
Yeah.
That because they don't have the intelligence and scriptural knowledge, that's why they're coming to that conclusion. If they study the scriptures, study Prabhupada's books, or even other scriptures, if they don't accept Prabhupada's books, they're going to see where these differentiation is there, the understanding is there. Each personality, what is their position, what is Krishna's position, what is Vishnu's position, Shiva, you know, everything is there, is very clearly spelled out. It's nothing that Prabhupada is putting in or taking out. So I took it as our duty now to take up that challenge and, you know, help to clear that understanding, because the entire country, it's primarily these people that what, you know, we'll be dealing with. So we have to, you know, make them understand. We have to help. It's been a problem from day one since ISKCON started here back in the late 70s. It's been. And for wanting to... like one thing I wrote in that paper, that I think that ISKCON devotees should first of all apologize to these people for making the wrong presentation, presenting Prabhupada's books and our philosophy in a wrong way. Because initially they were blasting these people that you are demigod worshippers, you know, you're low class, we're worshipping Krishna, we're better, you know, things like that. Because we ourselves didn't have that kind of a cultural understanding or scriptural understanding. So it's a, you know, it's a growth that we have to go through.
And there was just a thing about cow's milk. I learned recently that an Ayurvedic doctor, devotee, who's recently moved here, Gokul Priya.
Yeah, I know her.
And she did a seminar on Ayurveda and diet and lifestyle. And she was explaining that most food, it takes like 30 days to be assimilated in the body and turn into the different tissues of the body, muscles. But milk, it only takes 24 hours to be completely assimilated and utilized as body tissues. And I was thinking, wow, that's amazing. That's why the sages... sadhus could live on milk.
Yeah. Even the scientists, they have also concluded that milk is the only single food item that has all the nourishments that the body needs. You know, that's been Vedic conclusion. Srila Prabhupada wrote it so many times in his books. They are now accepting it. That one product, one can sustain on. It gives all the energy, all the necessary nutrients and proteins, whatever it is that the body needs. Yeah, so. Thank you very much, Mother Marumati.
Thank you for the nice class. I was just remembering that when I was a new devotee, I moved to Philadelphia and I was preaching to the Indian guest who would come, you know. So I remember this Indian family came, and so I asked them, who do they worship? And they said, Lord Shiva. And, you know, I did my spiel. Mm-hmm. Sadly, they never came back again. Mm-hmm. I couldn't understand why, but now, you know, I realize, I don't know what, I don't remember what I told them.
Mm-hmm.
Probably I told whatever I did. And I think the devotees are, we are more mature and we understand what Srila Prabhupada is saying, and mm-hmm. how many times he says that we respect everybody, including the demigods, but we know Krishna is supreme personality of God. So our immaturity certainly has in the past, and maybe sometimes in the present too, according to our understanding. So I just wanted to share.
Yeah, actually, right in the Bhagavad Gita, which, you know, we're supposed to be reading every day, In the 12th chapter devotional service from verse 8 through 12, Krishna himself says that 100% is devotional service, but if you can do this, then you can do this, you can do that, and he goes down the steps. So, with those who are not, let's say, on our standard, we should have nothing but 100% respect for them. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he also says, I forgot which one of his books, but I'll paraphrase what he said, that whenever I go to the churches, and that back in his time it was the colonial times, not colonial but British times, he said, whenever I go to the church and the other place of worship, he said, I bow down with full dandavats and full respect for the standard of worship. And I would stay there with folded hands and fully partake and reward everyone that is partaking in that worship. That's Bhaktivinoda Thakur, our acharya. So who are we to do anything less? You know, that's like my point. Thank you so much for that point. Anything else? Anyway, so we can stop here.